Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, your favorite blockhead has some very exciting news. I want to let you guys know that your favorite blockhead is now a proud member of the Yogi's Podcast Network. YFB is proud to bring you more content from my friends Mike and Toria over at The Nightly Rant. So you can follow their shows on the Yogi's Podcast Network, which will include Peeling the Orange, which will deal with all the issues in Orange County, The Nightly Rant, Liberty Revealed, and even one of my favorites, the Elite Podcast Academy, where you can learn everything you want to know about being a professional podcaster, be able to reach more people and give your influence, even work on monetization and on podcast notes, you name it. This course will walk you through how to be a better podcaster. And your favorite blockhead is always very blessed to mention his membership with the Dose Leprechauns Podcast Network. You can find those links on the show, and you can always find Dose Leprechauns on iTunes and on YouTube. That being said, what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Thank you for stopping by. You are listening to your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. Guys, guest number 8 has finally showed up. It is not about topping guest number 7. It was the stars aligned somehow, and Smiling Sam Alvey showed up on my show. So this gentleman that's come on today has got some opinions we're going to get out there, and I'm super excited to have him. But before I get into who he is, let me talk to you about how me and him are doing our podcast right now. We are using a program called Squadcast.fm. I will say this, guys. Say no to Skype. If you are doing remote podcasting, when you have interviews, when you want guests, say yes to Squadcast.fm. Use this remote podcasting tool that is getting better by the minute. You can go to my link and you can see the link for squadcast.fm. $20 a month is worth the time to avoid the headache and the stress that Skype cannot solve. Have had no issues with my interviews with any of my guests from the beginning of the time that I started with squadcast.fm, and I'm not going back. So Blockhead highly recommends that you use squadcast.fm. Use the link we've got today that's in the blog page and the posts for you to look at. Also, if you are a person like, hey, can I just donate something to the show and just keep your dream going, Blockhead? Yes, you can. You will see a link down beneath in the blog page that is for the Ko-fi account. If you want to give a cup of coffee to yours truly, think of it as a tip. Some of us know how it is to be performing on a Friday, Saturday night to an empty coffee house. Us podcasters feel that way sometimes. So make sure you go to my link for Ko-fi.com/yourfavoriteblockhead. That's Ko-fi.com/yourfavoriteblockhead. It will be provided in the notes for the blog page. Also, you will see my Patreon account. If you want to donate $1 a month just for the dream itself, if you want to donate to Your Favorite Blockhead, you can do that by going to Patreon.com/yourfavoriteblockhead to get updates and also to be able to donate throughout the month to continue this dream as we continue to go to Dallas on air and make other big things happen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, guest number 8, right next door to the Dirty W, he happens to reside in the nearby town of Midlothian, Texas. This gentleman has already started taking the podcasting world by storm. He is a great voice, a great persona. He has plenty to share about anything from sports on into his last guest with Alex, who got to listen to a great stories about being a local acoustic artist. He can cover all grounds, and I'm thrilled to have him on. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you now the one and only Justin Gilley, the host of the Rated JG podcast on iTunes. Justin, what's going on, man?
Hey man, thanks a lot for that awesome intro. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
You know, most of that was actually from the hip, I'll tell you. That was mostly just going from what I've collected from you from the time being. Because for the fans who don't know, back on guest number 99, we had Big Russ, Russell Brown, who came on, who we finally got interested in podcasting. He was a guest with me. And then, of course, he introduced me to you. One thing led to another. We shook hands over the internet, and now here we are having our show, right?
That's it. That's the way the world works. So thanks a lot, Big Russ, for the introduction to this little friendship we got going on. And it's been awesome so far. You know, I've been supporting you and I like what you're putting out, so I'm glad to be here.
I feel the same way, but it goes both ways. Now, as I have you here, because the fans are not going to be able to see what I see, this being an audio platform, I noticed in the back that you have got a flag that represents the Dallas Stars. And even though I haven't been following for a while, I remember the days back in the mid-90s following Mike Modano and Andy Moog and some of those other big times when they were doing well. I still remember the intro song itself when you go and hear them, boom, boom, Dallas. Stars,
Oh,
I can
yeah.
still jump in and get into that. So, any memories you want to share about the Dallas Stars from what got you interested and where they stand today? Let it rip, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. Being in Texas, obviously, football is king. And, you know, we got the Cowboys here. That's a global phenomenon, not even just here in Texas. But, I love all North Texas sports. But just kind of growing up, I had a lot of buddies that played hockey. I was a serious baseball player myself, so I never got to, you know, really dive into it and play myself just because, try to avoid injuries. I thought I was going to go to college to play baseball. But needless to say, I was a huge fan all growing up. And recently, about the 2014-2015 season, we really started to gain some traction. That was whenever I was at a spot in my life where I started to make a little more money than I was so I could afford to go to games. And the real kicker was getting my, at the time, my fiance, now my wife. I got her interested as well. So we've been going strong for about 4 or 5 years now, going to probably more games than we should, financially speaking. But it's an awesome atmosphere for anyone listening that's never been to a Stars game. Any kind of professional sports experience you have in the live format where you actually go and watch it yourself, I can assure you this is going to be. If you've never been, you need to go because this experience is nothing like anything else. It is just action packed from start to finish. There's loud music, there's lights, there's lasers, there's dancers. It's, you know, basically a bunch of grown men flying around on ice and hitting each other. So who doesn't want to see that, right?
Why not? Exactly. Yeah,
And
that's kind of the thing about it with me is that I've always told him, like, look, it's one thing to watch it on TV. It's another thing to experience it right there next to the ice rink. So, but yeah, and
Amen.
again, that's what I mean. You got any stories about any interesting fights that you can remember that went down on the ice?
Not in particular because it's a pretty common misconception that these guys just get out there and fight each other, but there is penalties to
True.
it. So you have to do it, I guess, strategically. You can't just, you know, drop the gloves and start beating people up because then you're going to put your team in a bad spot. They're going to be playing, you know, with, you know, basically a man or two down. So as far as actual fights go, no. I do have a negative one last year.
Okay.
We were, it was, I wasn't there to see it. It was on, I actually was with Big Russ watching this at Texas Live. The
Okay.
Stars made it into the playoffs. We were playing, I believe it was the Nashville Predators, and one of our young guys, Jason Dickinson, just gets absolutely blindsided. I mean, levels him harder than you've ever seen any linebacker hit, you know, somebody on a football field. And
Sure.
it just in the Texas Live arena right there was a couple hundred of us, and it just goes dead silent. And I'm like, oh
Wow.
no. So a little bit of a negative memory there, but a memory nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically it's because I feel I've been cheated out of that chance because I never got to see one up close. But yeah, definitely I can see what that is, and I can imagine. Again, there's one thing you made a good point about that about how linebackers are going to hit hard. But man, but you got that speed of being on those ice skates that come at you with extra padding that they've got in there. I mean, I can imagine the head trauma that can come out of that. I can imagine the internal and external injuries that just happen to hockey players that we don't acknowledge as much, you know?
Yeah, and it's a long season too. I mean, they play 82 games, so I mean
Right.
that is a no short stint there. And like I said, I'm just really glad that more and more people are starting to get behind them. It is just it's a lot of fun, and it's kind of like, you know, if you're a Ranger fan, you kind of have something to do for the better part of the year. You can always tune into a Ranger game. Same thing with the Stars, you know, every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, that's where you can find me watching them. I'm glued to the TV.
Quite often. That does give me a little bit of a segue, because I'm realizing that not just Big Russ, but you as well are a pretty big Rangers fan, pretty avid, pretty loyal to that team. And Russell had some opinions about this new stadium that's coming up. Now that I've gotten his take, I'd like to know if you've got some pros and cons about this new stadium that's going to be popping up soon in Arlington.
Definitely have a lot of pros and cons. I think first things first, it is going to be sad to see, you know, Globe Life Park go, because that's the only stadium I've ever been a part of. Yeah. You know, and I just turned 26 last week, so that is the only time I've ever seen, only place I've ever seen the Rangers play. That's what I think of when I think of, you know, home. But I also, you know, the more and more that you get into these sports, you kind of understand the back end from, like, you know, the managerial standpoint and trying to get these players to come down here to push us over that hump and get us into the playoffs, World Series, et cetera, et cetera. And due to the nature of it being so hot here and not being necessarily a pitcher-friendly ballpark, these big-name pitchers don't want to, you know, pack up and you know, set up shop down here, because no, they don't want to be on the mound in 107-degree on-the-field heat, you know, sure. and have their ERA go through the roof. So they'll kind of – I feel like that's shied people away from us, and maybe this this new retractable roof stadium will maybe – entice a couple more big names to come down here.
Definitely the pros of that, yes.
Yeah, yep. But yeah,
but as far as the cons that go, yeah.
Yeah, the cons, it's a – Russ made a good point. You know, I'm a purist, and I love going to the game and, you know, having sure. that sun beating down on you and smelling the hot dogs and, you know, people yeah. complaining about how hot it is. But, yeah, I mean, for every pro, there's a con, and I'm a glass half full kind of a guy, so I'm really excited to see it, and I'll definitely be there.
Right, and it will attract more people to be able to come that can are not so worried about the kids having any kind of heat strokes, but also just the ability, also the elderly that love baseball so much, they can be in a comfortable setting and be able to embrace that too. So yeah, I really can. I can see both sides to this. I can see the end of an era to where it really does upset you, but I can also just see how, hey, we have to in a way cater to, if there are no fans, there is no team. You know, us filling them in, if that's what it takes, is an AC building. Again, I'm with you, but you know, it's one of those. You sit there and think, "Golly, are we really this spoiled?"
Yes, exactly.
For us middle guys in the middle of the road, there is, you know, between our 20s and 30s. I'm like, come on, we don't have an excuse. We're able bodied.
Right, and we're kind of, you know, the Rangers have kind of made themselves a. Not a smaller market team, you know. We're definitely not where the Red Sox and the Yankees are, but I mean, we're not the small market team some people may think of, because they've had some big contract players, you know, throughout the years, and right now is kind of, you know, well, no, there's no kind of about it. It's definitely a rebuilding year at this point. So maybe, you know, scrapping this year, getting us into the new stadium, and getting some new fresh faces in there will be the little jolt in the arm that we needed.
Do you believe that we will ever revisit, I mean, not necessarily with a new talent or somebody that runs white hot, but it's just that was a very special time when we had our team well set in a well-oiled machine, when we had Cliff Lee at the mound, when we had Josh Hamilton hitting the home runs, when we had people like Mitch Moreland that were starting to go hot in between those times. Do you think we're going to have a chemistry like that again anytime soon? Is that going to be a 10-year thing before we do?
That's a good question. I think that, you know, what a lot of, you know, maybe just casual baseball fans don't realize is how much of a big role Nolan Ryan had in that
Absolutely.
Building. And if you were naming off a lot of players in that time frame, and when you think of one of those players that kind of gets overlooked in that time frame, Benji Molina was our catcher, you know.
Oh, he's, true.
He is, you know, not a physical specimen by any means. He's a little chunky, but man, that guy, he could call games, and his pitchers trusted him, and in whatever fingers he's putting down, they're throwing those pitches, and he was getting us through, you know, all that stuff, you know the grind of the season. And a lot of it was at that point in time, we had a lot of Latin players as well. You know, you had the Nelson Cruz, the Adrian Beltre, you know, the young Elvis Andrews, sure. Benji Molina. That kind of helps with the language barrier. And I mean, it was just, I think everything was firing on all cylinders. And that is something that I think it's just hit or miss, you know? I mean, it could take years to build it, or if you just put the right guys in the right place, it could happen overnight. It's all just dependent upon who you bring in, I suppose.
How quickly we forget that Benji had such a high baseball IQ. When we look at those teams, when we see people who have that, I mentioned this in my other podcast because I said this to a couple of kids in school because they all wanted to talk LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and I go, do any of y'all know who John Stockton is? Total silence. I go, you want to talk about one of the perfect point guards and the best basketball IQ that you can find out there? And this is not coming from fans. This is coming from actual players like
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Charles Barkley of the time period. So, and to pull that into baseball again, I go, come on, we look at the accolades, we look at the spectacle and the highlights, but we got some very intelligent players out there that just kind of get buried in the dust over as history goes along. And I know that drives guys like you that are baseball purists crazy, just like it does Big Russ. I'm sure you could think of some others for that time, but that was part of the mold that held the teams together from that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the kind of the intangibles. You know, you can teach somebody to swing a bat. You can teach somebody sure. to, you know, throw, you know, to the correct base at the correct time. But it's just kind of those, the really digging deep, the problem solving, the, like you said, just the baseball IQ. That is something that you either got it or you don't. And yeah, he was kind of the captain of the ship that didn't get a lot of credit. So,
right. That's what I mean by that, how that happens, you know, because, you know, without John Stockton, there was no Karl Malone. Without some of these other guys and to mold the team, Michael Jordan had the highlights, but you have to look at the entirety of the machine that he was leading, that vehicle that led him out there. And we had that during the time of Nolan Ryan, but yes, you know, Benji didn't want those type of accolades too. It's just like, it's kind of like us fans that recognize it, go, come on, let's give them some credit where it's due. I'll save that for the next segment when we get to MMA, because I got to bring up some guys with IQ and see what you think about this. But as I bring in, I've got to praise you just for a second, Justin, because your show, The Ray of JG, is already starting to really leave a footprint on the podcasting world with iTunes. I noticed it because I can read downloads, I can read the charts, I can read the analytics. I'm not saying that you're up in the top 200s anywhere like that, but again, for somebody who's a common man who's just getting started, part of it is because you got the personality, you got the voice to do it. When I first started listening to podcasts, I've said this before, that I believe what really got me interested in how to do podcasting was an interview that Chael Sonnen did, and it was episode 83 with Nate Quarry. And most people don't realize that was just a beautiful communication between the two. I mean, it was the Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers of the podcasting world in my mind. So I'm like, it's like, man, if I could have a guest or a co-host, I'd want it to sound something like that. So that's one of the reasons I've been super excited about having you on, is because I saw that. I basically see you, I guess, as my, quote, Nate Quarry, if you want to put it that way. But I just want to go, what got you interested in podcasting, and what's making you want to continue this on? Because this is going to be a good vehicle for you, I think. So what got you interested in it?
Well, first of all, you know, thank you very much for saying all that. That means a lot. Sure. I never want to get to the point where I come off as not being, you know, gracious for all. I mean, I'm getting support from a lot of people, and you at the top of that list. But my main thing that got me started, it was honestly, it's the whole, I don't even know what to call it. I guess necessarily like radio, audio as a whole has just always piqued my interest, even as a kid. I actually had my aunt, my dad's sister, used to be a radio DJ for one of these huge stations out in Dallas back in the 70s and 80s. So that's back when radio was king. You know, you didn't have downloads and Spotify and iTunes. You tuned into your local radio and you got to know your host. And so that kind of piqued my interest. And I've always been fascinated with interviewing people. I think that's a talent that's very overlooked and very, very hard to hone in on, especially when it comes to, you know, even just like you're mentioning the common man, or on a different level, if you have the opportunity, you had Sam Alvey on, you know, that's a celebrity in the literal sense there. And it's really neat to listen to people that have the gift of gab to get those kind of people to open up, you know, maybe get them to speak a little bit more that meets the eye, you know, because they're regular everyday people just like you and I. They wake up, put their pants on in the morning just like you and I. And if you have the ability to get anyone from any walk of life to open up and talk to you, I feel like that's a pretty cool talent to try to hone in on and continue to craft as you move on. So that's what really interests me, is kind of having those deep conversations with people. I'm also very fortunate in the sense that I know a lot of local guys that I grew up with. I mentioned I'm freshly 26. I'm at the stage in my life where people are developing career paths and trying to dip their foot in the entrepreneurial waters and, you know, things of that nature. And if I am fortunate enough to have this platform to talk about that and speak on that and help anybody out in any way, I feel like that's kind of what I was called to do. And I'm very happy to do so. And that's kind of what keeps me going at this point in time.
The genuine answer that you need, ladies and gentlemen. And again, if Sam Alvey happens to come on and hear this episode, why not, since he was gracious enough to land in the YFB world, why don't we try to share the love a little bit? So if Sam Alvey's listening, we're going to see if there's anybody in Team Quest that would love to come on and do a quick segment on the Ray of JG podcast. Why not? Since Sam Alvey said you would talk to anybody at any time, let's see who we can tell, except Joe Stevenson. He's the only one I'm trying to get on, because we want to talk to him about that Scarecrow Challenge and see if maybe we can get him on. That's the only one. I won't budge on Joe Stevenson from Team Quest, but if we can get somebody else that Sam Alvey can come through, I'm going to start recommending your show, brother. And believe me,
that's
that would be
awesome, man.
Yeah. You've had a lot of great personalities that have come on your show, but why not? That's going to get you more viewership and get more downloads, and why not? I mean, to get somebody from Team Quest would be huge. So there's my call to action, my PSA, public service announcement. We'll try to get somebody from Team Quest on the Ray of JG podcast, and I'm not sure when that'll happen. That's the only one. Joe Stevenson's mine. That's the only one I won't budge on.
You got it, man. But hey, anybody out there, y'all know where to find me.
There you go. Ray of JG podcast. Guys, you can find him anywhere on iTunes, on Spotify. But since we were talking about hitting the daily grind, I want to talk to you guys about the healthy tobacco alternative known as Grinds coffee pouches. These are small pouches of flavored coffee that can help you feel sharp and focused throughout the day, specifically meant to help baseball players be able to kick the tobacco habit. Originally designed as a healthy alternative, nicotine-free alternative, as smokeless tobacco, Grinds has aided numerous people to kick the smokeless tobacco habit and are continuing to impact the world of tobacco cessation for those who are ready to make the change. So make sure you check out my link for Grinds coffee pouches in the link for the podcast, and also make sure you sign up for their email list to find out how you can get 20% off of your first purchase. You get the emails, you get the coupons, 20% off with Grinds coffee pouches. So now, again, if any time during this segment, Justin, if I have interrupted you, I truly try not to. That's me being the gracious host. Mostly it's because I'm just excited. You know, I get up in arms about being on podcasts, and I love having guys to talk with, especially when I feel like I don't have anybody else that really understands MMA. They may be a casual fan. I'll bring up to people all the time. I'll say, y'all know who Conor McGregor is, but you couldn't tell me who Justin Gaethje is. And they just kind of give me the look. So with you, we won't start with him, but I do want to start with one I believe that you've got a strong opinion on. I want to hear about this. This last weekend, UFC 241, let's start with the main event. What did you see with the DC and Stipe second go-around?
Oh, wow, where to start? First off, that was an amazing main event, and I feel like that gave you everything that you are looking for in a heavyweight title fight. You hit the nail on the head when you said I'm going to have an opinion on this, because anybody that knows me, I've been known as the quote MMA guy in my friend group for years, because it was kind of a, I don't know, it was a little bit taboo, I suppose, until recent. Yeah, for sure. But I've got, it's funny we're talking about this, because I had the fight at my house, and, you know, I bought the pay-per-view, and I had four or five buddies here. And I'm telling you, by the end of the night, they were all huge Stipe Miocic fans, because of just, I've been singing his praises for years, and I really think that he is the epitome of what you want to, you know, be the face of a brand and to be your heavyweight champion. You know, he is the guy that's going to never get in trouble outside of the ring. He is a family man in every sense of the word. He's got, you know, his daughter, his wife, his dad just got cured of cancer. Like, I mean, and he uses his platform to speak on that. Like, he is just a great guy, and he is an absolute monster too, because Daniel Cormier is no slouch. We saw that in their first go around, whenever he did something that not many people do. He knocked Stipe out and knocked him out cold. And the first go around, you know, everyone was saying, oh, it was a fluke. Oh, Stipe wasn't healed because of the Ngannou fight. But another reason I love Stipe so much is you never heard him complain. He sat back. He said, you know, DC was the better man. I want my rematch. No trash talking, nothing. Then he comes out and he gives us that four round awesome, you know, showing there that, you know, last weekend. And I think he faced a lot of adversity getting walked down, and essentially he got bullied by DC for those first three rounds. And then he talks to his coaches. He finds that, you know, that he stands orthodox, and he was throwing, you know, those left hooks to the body. And that was what I really think was the game changer, because that led to the heavy right hand that knocked him down. So it was just setting it up.
That's what I've been trying to scream from the rooftops, is that this is a guy that is a breath of fresh air for all of us that have been MMA fans from the beginning. We understand that people don't watch sports on mute because the words matter. But I also understand that there's a time when the trash talk becomes overdone, and it becomes a broken record for so many of us that have been watching for a while. We want to see some punches and kicks. We do want a narrative, but do we have to have that continually? And Stipe is a guy who puts out fires literally in Chicago and then puts out a fire inside of the cage. So again, a guy who can be off for a week and then go back to the firehouse for the Chicago Fire Department, and then to see him the way he portrays himself, again, he's just a man's man. And so I'm thrilled that you feel the same way about him with that. But I've tried to tell people, they're like, yeah, your boy Stipe pulled it out. I was like, yeah, but he was getting steamrolled the first three rounds.
He sure was. And if by any chance Stipe's listening to this, he's going to have to forgive you, because he's a Cleveland boy. He's not from Chicago. And you're saying Chicago, Petey. Yeah, just got to give you a hard time. Got to give you a hard time.
That's being a middle school teacher right there, how you get things mixed up. Because not Chicago Fire Department, Cleveland Fire Department.
Yeah,
that will get some fired up. I got some friends who are from the Ohio area. They're going to hear that. Touche. But again, yeah, you're right. But we'll leave that little snafu in there in the podcast. Who cares? You know, welcome to my world. But yeah, definitely. But mentioning that he is a firefighter in real life, and then he still goes and puts out fire in the cage and still holds the title, and he does it in such a, not only a surreal way, but in such a gentleman-like way, and it's so refreshing for so many of us.
Yeah, and it, you know, given the nature of the sport, I mean, you're standing toe-to-toe literally with another grown man your size, and you're trying to, you know, beat each other into oblivion just to hold up, you know, a little belt at the end. And for him to do it in such a professional way, for lack of a better term, you know, he's just, you know, shake his hand. He still talks so highly of DC. DC says the same thing about him. I think that the trash talking Colby Covingtons of the world are going to be so few and far between now. So, but there's always going to be a place for them, I suppose.
I'm going to try to hold my tongue a little bit on Colby now, and I'll get to that in a minute. It's just a matter of when I say this, is that, you know, the heavyweight division in MMA is a lot less revered than the heavyweights would be, for say, in the boxing realm, just because in MMA, the heavyweight division can be one of the most boring to watch, because those guys, one strike to the chin and it's over, and they know it. So they have to put their defenses up and really know how to keep a distance and know their range. If they go into the clinch, they know that it's either strike or push and get away. It's a very different dynamic with the heavyweights because, you know, it's almost like I tell people that watch football. Sometimes the most interesting guys in football can be somebody who plays a corner just because of how quick that they are. But it's not always exciting to watch your defensive ends and your defensive tackles, your nose, your three techs. But with and in the heavyweight division with MMA, it's these guys know the power of one blow to the guy. So I'm not going to say that Stipe wasn't on the aware of that. It's just sometimes with you said Nagano. Nagano's the perfect example of one blow, and that ends up all over the highlight reels of the MMA world.
Right. And that's probably what gets – you know, the casual fans to cross over into being somewhat like you and I are, you know, because it's somewhat, I don't know if the proper term is calling it primal or what, but I don't know a lot of guys that see somebody get knocked out and don't get at least a little excited about it. It's fun to watch. And, you know, Ngannou he epitomizes that. He is a large man that throws heavy blows. And when he connects, it's in a way that, you know, you'll never find a bigger Stipe fan than me, and I'm telling you, his punches don't have anything on what Ngannou can throw. But look who's the champion. Look who beat Ngannou. Look who's ran through the entire heavyweight division, you know, for the past 3-4 years. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't know why, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. Maybe it's because he doesn't play into the whole shtick of being, you know, the heavyweight, I'm the man, I'm going to talk, you know, crap to everybody out there. He's just not, he doesn't, you know, play into that narrative. Maybe that's why, but
we are realizing how much that respect doesn't sell tickets in MMA these days, even though there's that small group like you.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I that will always continue to watch because that is what we're begging for. It will not win the casual viewers over like it would a trilogy between Connor and Nate Diaz, which, I mean, now that we've given myself a segue there, as much as I want to keep going on this, we can talk heavyweights all day long.
Sure.
We've got to take a look at the co-main event here. So Anthony Pettis and Nate Diaz, after a 3-year hiatus, here he comes. Let's just have your spill, your opinion on everything you saw in the co-main event.
Well, I was, I think the first word that comes to mind is impressed.
Yes.
Regardless of what anyone thinks of Nate Diaz, you know, I'm not the biggest Nate Diaz fan in the world. If we're being honest, I wanted Pettis to beat him, but I mean, ring rust was thrown out the window. Diaz didn't miss a beat. I mean, his cardio is unbelievable. He just has a gas tank that doesn't ever leave being full. You know, he has MMA IQ like you wouldn't believe. We know if it goes to the ground, he's ready to go. If it stands, he's got a granite chin. Him and his brother both share that trait.
Exactly.
But, it was the fight didn't play out the way that I thought or necessarily wanted it to. But, it's going to lead to some good fights down the road. If the Nate Diaz win in the welterweight division leads to a Jorge Masvidal fight, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be glued to my TV for sure.
Cannot wait for that one to become a reality. And I never thought, like I said in my other video today, those that have not seen it, I never thought I would be expecting for a birthday present or for Christmas a Nate Diaz fight. At this point, I am. I'm looking for Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal, whether it falls into November, December, whatever you got to do to put the pen to paper. At this point, Dana White, please make this one happen. So, and then for Anthony Pettis, it's just, he's a guy that's got really good MMA IQ as well, but Nate just came in and just showed us that He's just one step above that. He just is, and he's going to be that way for this competition. The only other guy I know that came off of a long hiatus and came back in desirable fashion like he did was George St. Pierre, and he's the one who came back and took the title. But this is a three-year period. He pulls the shenanigans of the CBD smoke and that he took on the walk, but it ain't with all the little semantics in between there. But still, he comes in and he's just – he's like the New England Patriots. Fourth quarter shows up, the other team is panicking, and Anthony Pettis had sucked all the wind out of the first rows of the cage in that area.
No kidding. And that's what's a lot of fun to watch in those, you know, like the welterweight division, the guys that are, you know, they're not small by any means, but they're not the heavyweights. They possess right. a little bit of everything. You know, these guys have got cardio, but they've also got that one-punch knockout power, which, you know, if anyone listening doesn't know who Anthony Pettis is, just YouTube him and you've got highlight knockouts for days yeah. you can watch. And indeed. it's really neat that, you know, a guy like Nate, who's not necessarily known for knockouts, can come in and just utterly dismantle this guy. I mean, he owned Pettis from start to finish.
And
it's going to, you know, the welterweight division's always interesting. And now that Nate's back, it's going to do nothing but fuel that fire.
Exactly. And without Anthony Pettis as part of the variables here, him being one that Nate goes, okay, after all of the headaches with the UFC, he's saying, okay, it's worth coming back to step into a co-main event with Anthony Pettis. Okay, I'm willing to agree to this. That's still a big deal that we cannot overlook. So do I think Pettis is done? No, absolutely. It just shows another a level above where Nate Diaz is. And finally, Dana White's acknowledging it, him being a guy that moves the needle. I'm like, he's moved it for a while. Look at your biggest pay-per-view draws ever, and that's Nate and Connor, period. So as we go forward, I just have to get into, since I just mentioned Connor, I mentioned Nate, another name that keeps on coming up, his return is coming. So we've got around the corner going to be Khabib versus Poirier, Dustin Poirier versus Khabib. What's your prediction? What are your thoughts on this fight? What do you think of these guys?
I'm incredibly excited for this one, and it's going to I think a lot of people have already dismissed the possibility of Dustin Poirier even, you know, giving Khabib a run for his money, which there may be some merit to that thought. Khabib smashes people. He gets a hold of you and he wrestles you to the ground and sucks the life out of you, and he's done it to strikers, wrestlers, grapplers alike. I mean, he really has. But for every Khabib fight where, like what he did to Edson Barboza a few years back and just strangled him into oblivion and beat his face in against the cage, you have the Al Iaquinta fight where he came in on a week's notice and took him five rounds, you know? So it's the fight game is exactly that. It is a fight, and nobody knows. You know, the Vegas odds makers may think they've got it figured out, but you never know till that fight day comes. So I'm very excited because Dustin is dangerous on his feet.
He's very dangerous. There's a reason why the gimmick for the diamond is there. I mean, you got how do you form a diamond? This is a guy who is coming in with plenty of not just, I wouldn't say frustrations, but he's coming in with every type of war that he could have gone through to get to this point. Don't tell me that Dustin Poirier has not earned the right to face Khabib. That's what I want people to understand, that he's earned it, and again, he's got something to prove way more than Khabib does at this point. Khabib just has something to defend at this point. So I'm thrilled with it. I'm excited about it. It's just, you know, people are really up in arms about the whole thing with Khabib exiting the cage, taking it outside of the field of play, I guess you could say, with the whole Conor debate. But again, I go, two wrongs don't make a right. Are you going to really defend a guy who throws dollies of the bus, who punches the guy over not taking more whiskey? Some people may not understand what I'm talking about. If you're an MMA fan, you know what I'm getting at. But do you think there's going to be a chance for Khabib and Connor to touch gloves again in the near future?
You know, that's a great question. I think from a personal standpoint, I don't think that Connor ever needs to set foot in an octagon ever again. You know? Sell your proper 12 whiskey and ride off into the sunset and be a billionaire, you know?
Sure.
Go become the president of Northern Ireland or something. I don't know how it is over there. But I just, at this point in time, it might just be an ego thing. Would I like to see it again? In all honesty, coming from a Conor fan, no, I don't. Because if you look back at Conor's recent handful of fights, whether it be boxing or MMA, hasn't looked too great, you know, dating not back really. To even the Nate Diaz win. That was that was a hairline decision, and then then Khabib and Floyd Mayweather and just the issues outside of the cage. I just think that he needs to, you know, he's done a lot for the sport. There's no denying that. He is an inspiration to a lot of people, myself included. I think that he's got a lot going on outside the cage that he needs to focus on, because he's, you know, he's a father, he's a husband, and he's a businessman that a lot of people look up to. So hey, you know, just get your head on straight and do your thing.
And unfortunately, in the blink of an eye, his other record is gone. His 9-second drop of Jose Aldo has been replaced by Ben Askren on the mat in 3 seconds. I know it's 5 seconds determined, but for that flying knee from Jorge, that's officially what's changed the whole game plan now. And that's one of the reasons why I say, well, I'm sorry, but there's something that's very exciting for Matt. I don't want to take this too much away from you, Justin, but let's put this in perspective for fans that maybe are professional wrestling fans. Let's do this one. Let's take the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. They said that was the first time, that two good guys are going up against it each other in the huge spectacle that was WrestleMania. Am I correct? And then you have WrestleMania 17, which was in Houston in the Astrodome, The Rock versus Stone Cold. And again, these are two fan favorites. This time, with this situation, you got a bad boy who will not back down on who he is, known as Nate Diaz, versus another bad guy that, if you look at his record and what Nate Diaz has talked about his experience, you've technically got two, quote, bad guys that are going at it. This is almost a heel versus heel program that we don't need Connor for at this point. I'm sorry. We don't need him for Nate and Jorge in any way, shape, or form. What Connor – and so Connor has – I'm not going to say he's been replaced. He just proves once again that the spectacle is what drives the needle. He proves that words do matter in this sport. It is about the narrative.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he actually came out – I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before – he did a face-to-face interview with Ariel Helwani.
Yes.
And talked about, you know, the incident, like you were mentioning, with the punch in the older guy in the pub over his whiskey and stuff like that. But even Connor, as egotistical and charismatic and outspoken as he is, he said, I can't blame Nate for not wanting the trilogy. I can't blame him. And I'm kind of taken back, because first off, Connor never admits he's wrong, or I'm not saying he admitted he was wrong about anything, but for him to say, basically, they don't need me and acknowledge that, maybe he is learning. Maybe he's evolving from this Connor that we know.
It was a different demeanor from his normal gimmick that he's portraying at that point. That's true. So as I've got you there, again, I just don't – like, I feel the same way you do. I want people to realize that these other guys are not supposed to be dismissed. I still say that Poirier deserves Khabib. Just like I said in the past when it comes to the people who have fought Jon Jones, I'm like, yeah, Gustafson deserved him no matter what happens. He deserves it. So as far as where Connor is, you're right. At this point, what does he have to prove, except for if he wants to go on the basis of legacy? That's all that I've got at this point. He certainly doesn't need the money. He certainly doesn't need the notoriety. I mean, he's got plenty of that and then some. Again, he's got a different IQ that is just, again, has assisted this sport in so many ways, allowed to cross over in many different arenas, not just in our sport, but across, you know, everywhere in sports. But as I move forward here, this is the reason why I said MMA IQ earlier. There was an article that came out that I mentioned on my other video, and I said, when Kenny Florian talks, I listen, because there are two guys that I believe have an IQ for commentary to be able to actually dissect for the fans what works. One of them is Kenny Florian. The other one is Dominic Cruz. Kenny Florian comes out and says, if there's anybody who could go up against Khabib right now, he threw out three names. He threw out George St. Pierre. He threw out another guy who is in jiu-jitsu named Ryan Hall. Of course, these other people in Facebook and other social medias are just rolling their eyes and dismissing him completely. Again, that's not the point. But the third guy that came up is the one that is facing Donald Cerrone on September 14th. Highlight Justin Gaethje. I don't want Justin Gaethje to be dismissed for September 14th. I am super excited about Cowboy versus Gaethje. Do you want to have any thoughts about that fight?
Oh, my goodness. That is going to be fireworks from start to finish. I mean, I've even told people that aren't fight fans, if you're ever going to watch a fight, you got to tune into this one, because when you, if you were to Google the word fight, this is going to be what comes up. It's two guys standing there and just throwing haymakers at each other, because neither one of them is going to back down from what they're known for. Cowboy is eccentric. He's known to, you know, quote, fight anyone, anywhere, anytime. And you can look at Gaethje's, you know, track record. I mean, he has been in some of the biggest melee brawls, I mean, in UFC history. And to see these two guys come in there, and neither one of them is going to back down. They're going to be, you know what, who literally last man standing. And they are just, I am incredibly excited that UFC matchmakers nailed this one on the head, because I am so pumped to see that for sure. And I honestly, I couldn't, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't know who to put my money on. I don't know, because they are just two brawlers, and I can't wait.
God bless you for that analysis. It's just nice to know that your favorite blockhead can actually think in the same terms as my friends that are in the MMA world, that we are all, you know, it's nice that sometimes we can have our different predictions here, but you feel you said exactly what I've been trying to scream at the top of my lungs about with this fight. People, if you need to get involved in MMA, if you ever want to watch a certain fight, we will tell you, hey, you want to look at the highlights, knock yourself out. You need to tune in for Cowboy versus Gaethje. This is going to be amazing, and it's so great to know that you feel the same way on that one.
Yeah, so are there any incredibly excited, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Are there any other particular fights that are coming up in the future? I would assume you're going to be watching Whitaker versus Adesanya.
Yes, absolutely. The middleweight division is an interesting one, and I've never been a big Bobby Knuckles fan. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about, you know, Robert Whittaker. I don't know. He's just, I don't feel like he's a great champion. And I don't know why. I've just never really been drawn to the guy. Maybe because I'm a Romero fan, you know, feel like the Yoel Romero fans. Yeah. I mean, those fights, they went to war, and they were hairline decisions as well. But I'm honestly more looking forward to that fight, because it is a setup for the following fight. So if it, in a perfect world, Stylebender comes in and takes it and you know, takes it to him and is the, you know, the champion outright, and then we get to see Mr. Paulo Costa taking it to Stylebender. Yep. I think that is, you know, I'm not dismissing this upcoming fight. I think it will be fun. I think it'll be entertaining. But it's kind of like a chess piece, just moving on to the, you know, two steps ahead, because that next fight is going to be awesome. And I think Paulo Costa is more than deserving of the winner of this fight.
Yeah. Paulo Costa and Israel Adesanya sounds like almost like a rook and a bishop going at it on a chess game. But, you know, it's one of those – I look at Whitaker and –
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sometimes I go, I don't dismiss him. I do appreciate what he's done. It's just sometimes when you're as, I guess you can say, with the many injury prone that he has, I don't call it accident prone, but he's a bit feeble that's been happening these last couple times. And again, there's something different about the way you look at the sport as a guy from Melbourne, Australia, that can also just kind of, he doesn't kowtow to people, but he's very apologetic. And he really, it's just kind of one of those, we know that you have the skills, but it's just one of those, I can't really sit through a press conference with this guy. It's like Adesanya had to come save the day the last time that they were talking at that one and pull something out. Yeah. I mean, that was a snooze fest without Israel Adesanya getting a little bit into the debate with some things on Instagram. I mean, but again, that's just kind of how I look at Whitaker, is that I appreciate you, but I can't – I mean, when I look at the middleweight, you cannot tell me you don't look at the legacy of Anderson Silva and go, okay, you've taken the torch and you've gone about this far with it.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about Whitaker.
And it's kind of on that note, it's pretty neat to think that, like, okay, so you mentioned Anderson Silva. There's been a lot of talks, you know, of comparisons between Silva and Stylebender. And sure. These guys are proving that it doesn't matter where you came from, where, you know, what your path has been. Like, yes. I mean, you, if you want to talk about just the small country of Nigeria as a whole, you've got Sadiq Yusuf that fought last weekend and won, you know, very by a substantial margin.
Kamaru Usman,
who's the champ, and then you've got Adesanya. Like, that, those are, you know, those are big time names in the game, and they're all in different divisions. You know, they're just making a name for themselves, and that's what kind of makes this whole crazy sport that we're so fascinated with. I mean, it's global, like you just mentioned. You know, Australia, New Zealand, Nigeria, you name it, and there's some representation all across the globe.
Certainly, that's what I enjoy about it the most. It's so international, and maybe that's one of the reasons why so many of us Texans that I try to talk with, they wanted to stick with their sport that they've grown up with and they understand. It's quite a stretch to be able to say I'm following a guy who's from Brazil, or I'm following a guy who's a Nagano brother. I'm like, and I go, okay, again, either it's not that you're on the in or on the out. It's just one of those. You got some homework to do. You're going to catch up with where we are at
Absolutely.
This point. We've been following. Since we've spent a lot of time in the UFC on this part, we've actually eaten up some pretty good time on the podcast, and that's exciting for me. But I want to ask, though, is there anything that's got your interest on the other side of the world, on the sister planet? Have you been watching anything with Bellator MMA? Is there an exciting bout coming up that you see in the future?
Yeah, I have been kind of somewhat. I'm a fight fan, you know, whether it's boxing or, sure. you know, the jiu-jitsu worlds are about to happen or just did happen in Abu Dhabi. Like, there's all kinds of fights all over the place. And even though I'm not as well versed in the Bellator game, I do keep up with it. And I think that, you know, conversely from Stipe, you know, their champion, their champ, Ryan Bader.
Yep.
I mean, he is just a phenomenal fighter, former UFC guy, exciting to watch. Kind of is the opposite of what you would think of with a heavyweight, you know, not necessarily the biggest guy. He comes out there with, you know, a shredded six pack and he's knocking out guys with beer bellies and stuff. You know, he's a really, really exciting fighter. So I have a lot of respect for that. And I will say, like Aaron Pico, is a younger guy that has, you know, uncapped potential. Keep an eye on him. And I think, as a matter of fact, tonight, Matt Mitrione is fighting.
Yes, so Matt Mitrione fight that's going down. I can't pronounce the other guy's name as bad as it is, but this is their second go-around that's going to happen tonight. And I should know my stuff a little better with that. I'll make sure I go back to my references. And then really the reason why I haven't paid attention to that is because I am trying to look forward to the fight between Lyoto Machida and Gegard Mousasi. That's going to be awesome, but also we've got the lightweight tournament. The brackets are finally falling in place for that. So that's the thing that I love about Bellator, is that we don't have interim titles that we're handing out. We have guys who actually go through the brackets, tournament style, as if you were in NCAA wrestling, and we find out who the top guy is. And Bader can rightfully say that he is the rightful champ of that organization. And now we've got, and Michael Chandler loses to Pitbull, but now Pitbull is right there in the tournament in the beginning, just like Rory McDonald has made his whole way in through the welterweight Grand Prix, and now he's about to go at it for the final go-around with Douglas Lima. Super excited about all of those that are going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's if you're kind of dipping your feet, you know, in the water as far as the fight game is concerned, don't just be a one-trick pony. I mean, UFC is by far the most world-renowned with the ESPN deal. It's the most well-known, but Bellator has, I mean, outstanding fighters. ONE FC has got outstanding fighters. You know, it's like we were mentioning earlier, it's global. And, you know, Mighty Mouse is over there, you know, fighting overseas. And
just,
you know,
taking names one after the other.
Yeah, and then, or, you know, like the Sage Northcutts goes over there and he gets his name taken, you know, because he's...
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The bottom line is it's very exciting. There's a lot of different organizations. There's guys of all shapes, sizes, ethnicities, backgrounds. It's just a really... There's a reason that we get so we divulge, you know, so much of our time and effort into watching this stuff, because it's just it's an awesome ever, and there's no off season, you know, they're going year round. So
true, yeah. And I guess the only one, if I look at all of these that you mentioned, you know, you're right about ONE Championship. Again, you're right about, there's also Ryzen that's out there, but there is one organization I enjoyed seeing go away deep down personally. I enjoyed seeing Golden Boy MMA become a flop. I really did. I'm like, I'm sorry, Oscar De La Hoya, you don't have a clue what you're doing. and you don't know how to handle MMA guys. And that whole thing was such a farce in so many ways. We wanted to take two well-known names from 10 years ago. Again, not trying to disrespect Chuck Liddell. I have no problem saying that I've got no respect for Tito Ortiz. But if we go with Golden Boy MMA, I just go, man, that's one. I go, you cannot, you're comparing apples to oranges. You are not doing a boxing ring. You are doing a octagon that is made out of a steel cage and these two guys that have more than just punches to throw. And so it was, and I admit it, on my side, you might have a different side. Maybe you can even dispute that. But I enjoyed seeing that one fall, crumble to the ground.
I think, you know, I can somewhat applaud his effort. You know, speaking on Oscar De La Hoya, but my thing is with,
sure,
you know, you nailed it, you know, apples to oranges. One of the main reasons people are so drawn to MMA is the best fights the best. It doesn't matter, you know, if it takes, you know, a couple months or whatever, they will inevitably fight each other. Whereas in boxing, it's such an arms race with, you know, who's the promoter, where are we going to fight, who's going to get the most money, who's, what channels are going to be on, you know. It's, that's why you get to see the Floyd Mayweathers and Manny Pacquiao's when they're 40 years old and they're beaten down. You know, nobody that fight should have been made 10 years before that happened.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're seeing it right now with Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury. I mean, like, it's just, we're getting this go around over and over and over again. And I'm like, you know, guys, that's why so many people shy away from boxing, is it takes years upon years, and sometimes it never even happens. You want to see those matchups, and MMA as a whole will give them to you. I can assure that.
Yeah, I mentioned that on one of my podcasts about how Ruiz and Joshua are having their second go-around. And it's happened on December 7th, which is the anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attacks. But where is it taking place? In Saudi Arabia. So we know who's king. It's not the history of our nation. If it was, it would happen in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. It happens where there's very lucrative cash to be made on that venue.
Absolutely.
So I've actually had a lot of fun with this, man. I really hope in due time, as our schedules work out well and the stars align perfectly, that we can have another go-around. Maybe one day I'll do a swap cast on your show maybe in the future. But as we start to come to a close here, is there anything that I have not covered with you that you really want to just get out to the fans? Because I tell people all the time, when I have guests, if there's one thing people need to remember about you, there's got to be a message you would send out. I had a friend who did what's called the three do's and the three don'ts. He went through that at the very end. If they heard nothing else from you, what's something you stand by? I had one who mentioned about just taking, you got to take care of your own personal health. You can't help others up unless you're up. So he used that one. If there was anything that you would want fans to know about you, what you believe, what you stand for, what would you tell them at the end of this podcast?
That's a good question. I think what I always try to tell, maybe not even my fans, but I just, myself, I try to really stay as humble as possible, keep myself grounded, and that's kind of where this podcast has taken me, and I use it as a productive, time-filling, you know, a stress relief outlet, basically, and I try to use it in a positive way. You know, I may not be blessed to have, you know, millions of dollars to throw out and help everybody in the charitable acts, but if I can, you know, spread the word on a small business or help a buddy out, or, you know, do something like, okay, this podcast, for instance, you know, I don't have a huge fan base, but if I can bring people to come see what you're all about and maybe put a couple bucks in your pocket from affiliate links, that's what I'm all about. You know, I'm not doing this to become famous. I'm not doing this to, you know, become the next Joe Rogan or anything like that. I just really honestly do it because it's something I enjoy, and I try to get, you know, just be as positive as possible. And, you know, if somebody tunes into my show for 30 minutes or an hour and it puts a smile on their face, and that's what I'm all about right there.
Now, I will give you that. That's a well put. Humble thyself and he will lift you up. But also, if it helps you a little bit and put it in this perspective, let's look at through this lens for a second. You're on episode probably 11 or 12 or something like that. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think I'm upward. I think I'm like closer to 15 now.
Closer to that point. Yeah. And in my case, I'm just now going over 100 that's been documented with a couple of other guests, a few new small shows. Joe Rogan has what? Episode number 2,993 coming out at this point. Been doing it since the inception, back when iPods were an actual thing and he found out what a podcast actually was. So I've told people before that, like you said about the radio, is that there was a time when radio was king and people tuned into a certain time. Nowadays, you can download these anytime you want. It's a lot more convenient. It works well for, you know, phone cast doesn't really stick. It doesn't make a lot of sense. We've just kind of kept the term for a while. But Joe Rogan's been doing that from that time period on. And that should tell anybody coming into the podcasting game, it's going to take time. It's going to take patience. What you got to focus on is just getting your content and your storytelling out there to where people are interested in what you have to share. And I already think, Justin, that you're doing that. And I think you'll polish it and you'll perfect it. And I'm definitely a Ray JG fan for life. I don't care. You know, it's not like that bad World War II joke, but what if? but nonetheless, I'm on board the hype train for Ray JG for a long time.
Well, I very much appreciate that, man. The feeling is mutual. I've the minute that Russ introduced us, I've subscribed. I've been kind of backtracking a little bit, kind of getting to feel what Blockhead Nation's all about. And like I said, man, you got a fan in me too. That's for sure.
It's a good feeling. You got to keep the humblers in there because again, it's taken some time. It's taken some build up. But yes, I'm on the journey with you, and in between having Big Russ coming on the show, I know he's got one coming out. Is it Loud and Opinionated that he's going to do that's coming soon?
Yes, for sure. And Russell embodies both of those words to AT. He is very loud and he is very opinionated, so I'm excited to see what happens when he puts a microphone and a recorder in front of him.
A shameless plug and definitely a free one and a shout out to our friend Big Russ as we get through. But as we wrap up for the day, guys, some of y'all have been listening to this show and go, hey, I want to support the podcast. But also I'm going, man, I got to think about what about your furry loved ones at home? If you're not sure how this is relevant to you, well, Blockhead's got an idea for you. I want to talk to you about my friends over at True Dog. True Dog exclusively uses premium grade human cuts of U.S. sourced meat, no wheats, no corns, no grains, no sugars, no none of all that. True Dog Foods is going to provide your dog and your furry loved ones snacks with no refined carbohydrates, no added salts, just pure digestible quality protein. These guys have been seen on NBC, on CBS, ABC, Fox, Lifetime, and the Health and Wellness Channel, and True Dog has got veterinarians that are holistic that will actually help your dog live longer, healthier, and happier lives with you. So check out the link that I have for the podcast today, and you can use the promo code DOGDAYS. That's all uppercase, one word, DOGDAYS, to get 25% off of your purchase from True Dog. Just click the link, see where it says get your coupon, go through Dog Days and see what you can get for your furry loved ones at True Dog. And with that, Justin, I bid you adieu and thank you so much for your time on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've enjoyed it and I look forward to the next go around. Until that time, guys, we will see you again. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel, and that's the way the cookie crumbles.